Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. You can listen to our sermons, interviews, and Pastor Pod on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any popular podcast platforms. Welcome to A Bigger Table. This series is going to focus on groups of people whom the church tends to marginalize and put on the fringes, rather than fully including and accepting them into the body of Christ. Churches often say we are welcome to all, but if you're an outsider, or you don't understand the undertones of Christian subculture, then you really are not welcomed in reality. These series of interviews are meant to shed light on those that the American church has hurt, in an effort to reconcile and make the Lord's table even bigger. At New Hope, we practice an open table, that no matter where you are, or where you're from, or what you believe, you are invited to participate. So let's take that practice into the world. Let's include those who the church has shamed and guilted for far too long. I hope you'll take this journey with me as we discover the stories of those who are our friends and family. This is A Bigger Table. Last week we heard from Rob and Jacob about how their minds shifted. This week we're going to hear about what they want the church to know and what the greatest blessing in this journey has been for them. But before we get to that, I think all of us need to come to terms with the prejudices and misconceptions we each have about each other. Christians towards atheists, atheists towards Christians, and how can we find common ground? There's a comedian, his podcast I listen to, his name is Pete Holmes, and he tells a story quite a bit about when he deconstructed his faith and became atheist for a while, that he had kind of a nihilistic approach to it, that nothing matters. So he was with some friends who were atheists at a hotel. Nobody was at the concession stand, and he was just going to take an item, a candy bar or something like that, because he thought, what does it matter? I don't have a God who's watching over me, waiting for me to mess up all the time anymore. But his atheist friends said, no, we don't steal stuff not because God will be mad at us, but we don't steal stuff because that could affect somebody's livelihood. The person who works at that counter could be fired because there's an item missing. Therefore, you are hurting another human being and their means of providing for them or their family. Of course, that's something that Christians would also say is not good. So how can we find those little threads? So let's listen to Jacob first as he talks about what he would like the church to know about atheists, and then we'll hear from Rob. I think you've answered this in small ways throughout our conversation, but given where you're at right now, what is something that you would like the church, the broader church, to understand about you or about atheists in general?
Yeah, I would just say that, we're normal people. Obviously I can't speak for all atheists, but I can speak for myself. I can say I'm a normal person and I care about all the same things that a Christian might care about. I care about working hard and taking care of friends and family and living a good, honest life.
What has been the greatest blessing to you about your journey?
Greatest blessing about my journey? I would say just the fact that the Christians in my life have been really have really loved me through it. You know, I've never caught attitude from my brother or my dad that they thought that I was less than a respectable person because of my beliefs. I know deep down that they really wish that I would find my faith again because they love me and they care about me, but I would just say the blessing was that never created a rift between me and Christians I care about. Are there questions that people in your church or people you've talked to have for somebody who's atheist?
Oh, yeah. I did have one. The question I hear a lot from people in church communities, people of faith, about atheists is they ask, where do they get their hope from? Because they can't imagine going through a death of a loved one or a tragedy without their faith and belief in God. So the question I would ask you then is, where do you find your hope?
I guess just in the beauty of life. This might be a bit of a rabbit hole or out there, but I'll go there anyway. I really like the idea that, you know, your children are the extension of you. That is the continuation of you. And I kind of see that as the natural progression in nature. And so I like the idea that I am, you know, my parents, and that someday I'll have kids and what I, you know, they'll take my genetic code and they'll take whatever I teach them and whatever possessions I leave behind, and they'll continue the family. And so I think where it's still hard to lose individuals. I still think life is beautiful, and I'm happy I'm here. I'm excited about my life ahead, and I love all the different things I've built into my life now. And I just look at, you know, having children as the continuation of me. So I'm okay with the idea that me as a cell in this being of my family will someday perish, but the being goes on.
That was kind of the big question I had. Because I always hear that from people. And, you know, I can't answer that on behalf of an atheist. And so it's good for people to actually express where they find their hope. Because I think and you and I grew up near each other in that area, that's just the way of life. And you don't know anything different. And I think a lot of people grow up that way, though, that they've been a Christian their whole life, so they can't imagine thinking outside of that, especially in terms of hope during hard times. So that's a helpful answer.
Yeah, and it is, you know, it is difficult. I have an aunt right now who's her cancer's come out of remission, and it's highly likely we're going to lose her soon, and that's hard. You know, losing people is hard, and I don't ever want to take away from any Christian who finds, you know, joy and strength in their faith. And I think I find it in my community and in my loved ones around me.
Do you think Christians and atheists can work together, or are our differences too deep?
Oh, I think we work together all the time without knowing it.
Say more.
I mean, so I work in renewable energy and, you know, trying to help the planet. And there's plenty of Christians at work, and you know, we're working together to do good work. And I, you know, I enjoy mission work and out and helping others who are less fortunate. I mean, all that kind of stuff. I think it's impossible to imagine that we would be separate when we're all in the same economy, we're in the same workplaces and jobs and communities. I know a community in Northwest Iowa might appear pretty homogeneous, but I think that's just because anybody who thinks differently is probably too afraid to say so. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I think we already do work together. Now, I think there's certain areas where we have very different views on how things should go. And that's, you know, that's a struggle, but it's possible to struggle with someone you really care about.
All right. Thanks for joining me today, Jacob, and answering the questions.
Yeah. Thank you, Jordan.
You've You know, I think there's a lot of places that Christians and atheists can really work together. I think the dignity of humans, whenever we see that threatened in our world, I think both atheists and Christians can really team up for that. I think in ways, Christians should also understand when and why they feel threatened by atheists. I understand that it feels threatening for somebody to deny God that you believe in, but they're not asking you to deny that God also. At least Jacob and Rob that we are talking to. Of course, with any system, with any group of people, that there are good people in it and bad people in it, or unhealthy people and healthy people, to put it in a better way. And so learning that one person doesn't always represent a whole. I'm sure there are many Christians that for you out there do not represent the Christianity that you know and understand. So how do we identify those feelings of being threatened? And that sometimes maybe it isn't, you are not being threatened at all, but that's more of your insecurity of your faith. But becoming more secure in your faith, you can hear these words and thoughts from Jacob and Rob without feeling like your faith is under attack, because that is simply not what they are doing. So let's hear from Rob as he tells us what he thinks the church should know about atheists. What is something that you would like the church to understand about you?
Well, on the whole, I think it's that 90-10. It's that even the 10% of me, which is atheistic, it's just 10%. It is not the whole being of who I am. It is a talking point. It is an approach to getting through the days. It does not affect the way, say, I look at the teachings of Jesus. It doesn't affect the way I look at the teachings of Buddha. It's just such a thin veneer compared to the fact that underneath, and this is why I consider myself a humanist, that I'm 90% human and 10% individual. And so I would want the church to know that a difference of opinion, even one as seemingly rudimentary as faith and a belief in a God, is still just a very thin divider. I think we all want the world to be a better, safer, happier place. We all suffer, and of course we all die. Mm-hmm. I think that is room enough to build a pretty strong foundation for a bridge between any two people. And therein lies the bridge. And therein is the reason why I try and put the veneer down. But that's where the bridge lies for me.
Where does the hope lie for you?
Well, I find my hope in all that has gone before me. And I also find my hope in what's lying in wait the next day, the next moment. As much as the times are difficult, I understand that is part of the journey and that it can't be avoided. And so I find hope in the idea that when I come out of that process, that I have a more clear perspective on what it is I need to do in life, what it is I need to carry forward from that, and how I can honor that person and their memory as I move forward. And the idea that I will be there soon enough. So my mind is telling me it's a little bit like faith, Reverend. but I don't, it's true. I don't have anybody, I don't have another being to turn to and say, give me strength. Yeah. I only have those around me who I know are just like me. And I will hold on to them and say, let's all give each other strength right now.
What has been the greatest blessing to you about your journey?
The greatest blessing has been the connections. And it's been the connections that I've been able to participate in across all boards. The interesting thing is by putting down the veneer of having to believe in one thing or the other, I am welcoming to everybody who crosses my door. And that is a huge blessing because it means that I can constantly learn from everyone who crosses my path. And it really is a blessing. It's a blessing. It takes the pressure off of me to proselytize or to do mission work, to actually sort of bend somebody to my will, and in a way I can let that go, and I can receive them and accept them both in the 90% and listen closely to their 10%. Mm-hmm. And give it a valid space. But at this point, and like I said, if I can put down that mantle of thinking of everybody as an enemy, and if the churchgoers could put down the mantle of thinking that I'm the enemy, you'll find out that we actually work side by side and we can have a common goal right here on this plane of existence.
Well, great. I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there. And I think that deep down every religion, that should be the heart of it. And, we lose our way once in a while, but the heart of it should be, how do we love our neighbor as ourselves? How do we take care of the less fortunate?
Yes.
I think it's what all good religion should drive you to do.
Yes. And all good non-religion.
Yes, there you go. Thanks, Robert.
Thank you very much. I really enjoyed this.
I want to thank our guests, Jacob and Robert, for kind of being vulnerable and talk about their beliefs. This wouldn't be possible without them being willing to do that. And I think for all of us going forward, the benediction, the call to you, is to find those common spaces with your neighbor, even if you disagree with them. How can we work together to live out words in the Lord's Prayer that says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." How do we bring heaven to earth now together? This is our call after listening to A Bigger Table. A Bigger Table is a podcast of Voices of Hope, of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. If you like this podcast, please rate and review it, share it with your friends, and we will see you next time.